Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, good morning. Blessings to you all and peace be multiplied. We're so thankful that we have you here. And on behalf of Pastor J.D. Farag, we'd like to welcome you to our Sunday morning live stream service here at Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. And for those who are visiting, welcome. He's not here, but I am. And instead, of course, thankful to be here and looking forward to him getting that much needed rest and time with his family. And we also know what else is going on. But we welcome you nonetheless. Look forward to meeting you, fellowshipping with you, and loving on you as well. I do want to remind everyone about our next prayer meeting that will be held here in the sanctuary on the 9th of January at 7 p.m. I also want to thank you for your prayers for the various missions that we have going on within this ministry. And also, thank you for the prayers that you did for the team in Nepal because they have returned. Praise the Lord. And I'm told everybody returned safely with all their limbs. And praise the Lord for that. But continue to pray for them as they recover such a long journey and all the things that they were doing in the name of the Lord. We're so thankful that we have an opportunity to be a part of this. Prayers for Maui continues. We know what their needs are. Prayers for one another with inside the congregation, and especially for our dear pastor and Kelly and the family. Well, on Sundays, we have two services. The first service is normally dedicated to the prophecy update, and the second service is dedicated to the sermon. But for today, we will be conducting two expository teachings. And for our first teaching this morning, I would ask you to join me in the book of Matthew in chapter 4. We'll be reading from verses 8 through 11, and I will ask all who are able to stand to do so for the reading of the scriptures this morning, followed by a word of prayer. The book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, well-known passage of scripture. And the word of God reads, "Again, the devil took him up," speaking of Jesus, "on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" And verse 11, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." So why don't we pray and ask for the Lord's blessing upon this message this morning. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, so much for allowing us the unique opportunity to come to your throne for anything at any time. And at this time, we ask that you would just bring your word with power, clarity, and authority. May it touch the depths of our soul, and we gather all the riches from which you will speak this morning in your church. We are postured and we are ready. So now, Lord, speak in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. And so be it. Please be seated. This morning, our first teaching is titled, "The Devil's World." And I want to use these passages not only to point this out, but to also point to the fact that this is why we are to reject the world and everything in it. And to bring the bottom line up front, the way that we reject this world and everything in it is by accepting Jesus Christ and following after the ways of the Lord. And okay, this sounds real basic, doesn't it? But what's sad is so many times we get caught up in this world. are seeking and looking for what this world has to offer us that blinds us to what God has to offer us. So what happens? This material world becomes our destiny. But know this, this material world as it is belongs to Satan. As it is, that's who it belongs to. He also has spiritual influence over the entire globe. And we have talked about this before, but again, many of us do not seem to get it. This world as it is the devil's world. Every aspect of it, including this great country that we live in. And that was, and at times, still kind of hard for me to swallow. Especially for a man that spent most of his life dedicated to defending this country. And then you come to realize that the powers that be are under the sway of the wicked one. Now, that's not to say that every person is wicked within the government and the establishment. No. But the system itself is satanically compromised. Globally, by the way. But the enemy, as subtle as he is, tried to make me feel as if all the time I spent defending this country was going against the will of God. And I'm sure there are many of you who have felt the same way, whether that's inside the government or not, questioning your job. Is this of God? It's supposed to be noble, but the system is demonic. And if that's you, I want you to be encouraged, just as I was. First of all, even though this is, for now, the devil's world, the true and living God has us living in it for his glory and his purpose. And once we have accepted Jesus Christ, he will order our steps, light our paths. What we have to do is be willing to trust in the direction God has us going. That's what we need to do. How do we do that? Well, the Word of God. That's how. That's the light. Regarding those steps that we are to take. And if properly applied, it will keep us from so many troubles and show us how to live within this demonic system and demonic world. So, with the Lord's permission, we're going to look at these verses and expound on them. But we will spend some time and focus on the here and now, because we really need to truly understand the powers that are behind the scenes of it all. That will help us fully detach ourselves from the world instead of being detached from reality. Are you following me? This is where a supreme victory lies, if we can get there. And we're going to look at some practical applications, some Bible verses that provide insight to what we will be discussing. And in the end, prayerfully see how and why we must look beyond this world while still living in this world that has little to no respect for the things of God. And with that said, let's get to it. As the Word of God reads in verse 8 of our text, again, the devil took him, speaking of Jesus, up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So in this temptation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Satan would not just take Jesus up to a high mountain, but an exceedingly high mountain. I think we should note that. Because I believe that this gives us the understanding that this view would have been one of a kind. Miraculous, no doubt. No one has seen this. This is a vantage point that would have given Jesus the view of all views. All the kingdoms. Hear me. All the kingdoms and their glory. So, why would the devil want to show Jesus in that way? Because the devil clearly understood that Jesus, as the Son of God, was not only fully God, but he was also fully man. Are we tracking? And we know that Jesus was tempted like every other man. And a stumbling block for man is the lust of the eyes. That's why Satan would show Jesus and not just tell Jesus. Let me show you. Show me the money. Right? I mean, what does this world think anyway? Seeing is believing. That's the world, right? When you see something, you're enticed. And not only just the lust of the eyes, but for mere mortal man, this is also an offering of power. Oh, man craves power. Does he not? Power. But Jesus is not just some mortal man. He is the God-man. Not to mention that Jesus and Satan both know that Jesus was already promised to have rule over this earth and all that there is. And we see this truth captured here in the book of Psalms, chapter 2, and verses 7 and 8. The Word of God reads, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. In verse 8, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. In other words, those kingdoms that Satan is trying to offer the Son of Man already belonged to the Son of Man. Satan's rule over this present age will come to an end. And what he was trying to give Jesus was not what it seems. Because the splendor that Jesus would see was only a part of the trap. That's what it was. So for Jesus, it's not just about the kingdoms themselves, It was more about how Satan was offering Jesus a different way in obtaining those kingdoms. Are you following me? And Satan's way of obtaining the kingdoms on the earth was by rebelling against the word of God. Remember, God's plan was already set in motion before the foundations of the world. Here comes Satan offering another way. Not to mention that those kingdoms would have came with some strings attached. But God said that the ends of the earth are your possession. He declared a decree, a rule, a law. He gave an order, made a judgment, and the scriptures cannot be broken. But again, the devil is playing on the humanity of Jesus Christ and attempts to entice Jesus by getting Jesus to consider another way instead of God's way. And we all know that it was rebellion that led to the fall of Satan and his followers. But it was also rebellion that led to this entire world being handed over to Satan in the first place. Listen to what God charged mankind with in the beginning. Captured in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, the word of God reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" And this subduing included that slithering snake known as the serpent. When that serpent spoke of things that went against the word of God, they were to rebuke it in the name of the Lord and bring it to the will of God. They were to rule under the authority of God alone. But Adam gave that authority to Satan by willfully rebelling against the word of God. And when we read the account, take notice that Satan did not have to show Adam or Eve anything at all. He just spoke it. All Satan had to do was to get Adam to do something that God said not to do. So we can see that Satan uses different tactics for the same results of rebelling against the word of God. And by Adam listening to Satan, the devil became the ruler over them as well as the god of this age. That's how we got here. All because of rebellion. Going against the word of God. And that's exactly what this devil's world looks like and is like. Constant rebellion. Think about it. At the root of everything of this world, in one way or another, it rebels against the word of God and the character of God. This is truly the devil's world. You better believe it. And one of the easiest ways to prove God is to show how the entire world that we live in rebels against the God of the Bible. The devil's world rebels against the natural nature of man. Why? Because God ordained it. And they hate it. The devil's world rebels against authority. Why? Because God ordained it. This devil's world rebels against morality. Why? Because God ordained it. This devil's world rebels against the truth. Why? Because God is the truth. And the devil's world rebels against the only way for salvation. Why? Because God ordained it, and Jesus is the only way. I'm sorry? Oh, chapter one, I'm sorry. Oh, I see. You better check these slides. That was a test. You passed. Oh, it was the devil's fault. We need to be reminded, though. We're in the devil's world. I'm just saying, for real. And from time to time, we all rebel against God. That was just a simple mistake, though. But we're born sinful rebels, separated from God. That's why we must be born again. And for those who are not born again, there's no way that they can actually see that this is the devil's world. Just like us in the past, we have to be drawn to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in order to believe. In fact, many of them who do not believe love to challenge us Christians by asking the question, if there was a God, why would he allow so much evil and destruction to come upon a world that he created? Okay. Well, I have an answer for them. And you do too. Simply tell them, oh, it's the devil's world. This is the devil's world. Oh, yeah, it is. Because man rebelled against the word and love of God. So now, think about it. The devil's the root cause of all this evil, suffering and destruction. Yeah, blame it on the devil. And this is what the devil has to offer you. All of this madness. Oh yeah, God allowed it because man wanted it. This is the devil's world. And because it's his world, a lot of people want the devil to be their daddy. That's the truth. Jesus said, ye are of your father. Because you don't want the true and living God. And here's a short list of what the devil has to offer in this world of his that he currently owns. The devil offers a world full of violence and murder because he was a murderer from the beginning. In fact, his first murderous act was actually against Adam. Think about it. It could be argued that Satan played on the emotional ties that Adam had towards Eve. Because we know from the scriptures that Adam was not deceived. This goes to show the very influence of murder is murder itself. The devil's world offers a stolen life, a life robbed of all joy, because he is a thief of all joy. The devil offers a world full of lies and deceit because he's the father of lies. He was able to deceive Eve by using her words against her because she misquoted what God had said. She would add to the word of God in a way that would be altering to the entire world. And this is very important. And we should understand this and take a look at it. Because also captured in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, the word of God reads, "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said,'" here it is, "'you shall not eat it.'" Okay, you can buy that one. "'Nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Wait a minute. That's not what was said. This one misquote of what God said gave the devil an amazing opportunity to set his deceitful trap. The Lord said, "Do not add to his word for a reason." Now, at face value, it may seem that Eve was setting a wider boundary, a barrier, by mentioning not even touching it. Oh, good job. You want to separate yourself. Sort of like when Jesus would come on the scene and say that, "You have heard them say that thou shalt not murder. But I tell you, if you're even angry with your brother without cause, you've already committed murder in your heart." But that's not what Eve did. See, Jesus was bringing about the conscience. Eve brought something physical into play. And that's a problem. Clarifying the context is one thing, but adjusting the context is another. Because from this, the devil knew that all he had to do was get her to touch it. That's it. Once she touches it, that's it. And guess what? That's what she did. She took of the fruit. And guess what? When she took it and touched it, she didn't die. Nor were her eyes open until Adam ate. It says their eyes were open. The bottom line is the devil's world is so deceiving. His deception is so subtle, but it ends up bringing about some disastrous consequences once sin has run its course. And the only way to combat deception is by knowing the truth. This devil's world also offers a world of destruction that too often comes with pride. And the world is full of that. Not to mention all of the evil and hatred. And we know that the devil's world offers infinite ways of mortality. This is what the world as it is offers everyone. And for those Christians who would believe that we are living in a post-millennial world, how do you get there? We know that Jesus has overcome the world, but this world as it is still under the sway of the wicked one. And there are many ways to make this point. But we'll just look at one captured in 2 Corinthians. And we've read this before in chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. The Apostle Paul writes, as the word of God reads, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of this age. And note this, that the Apostle Paul would write this after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Christ. Now, what I'm about to say, I said on Thursday night. And that is, instead of asking God why he has allowed all this evil to happen in the world, we should be asking the question, why does God even consider saving us out of this world? Why? It is a demonstration of love that is never explained. And when we think about Satan offering Jesus all of the kingdoms in a moment of time, guess what? All of this evil would have come with it. Jesus was only shown the splendor, but not the devastation that lie beneath. And again, I believe Satan was given permission to show this supernatural kingdoms all at once through the course of time. And we know that no matter how amazing it was, the Son of Man would reject it. So, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what kind of splendor are we seeing that keeps us attached to this world, even though we know that it's under the sway of the wicked one? Especially today. Because the majority of what I see is not splendor or glorious at all. It's devilish, it's hellish, it's godless. For those who do not believe in the true and living God, consider this fact. You are still serving a God. Everyone on the planet that has ever lived or are living has or is serving a God in one way or the other. And I want to tie this into our next verse of our text this morning. So we need to remember that we are all serving a God, no matter if we believe or not. Verse 9 of Matthew chapter 4 once again reads, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. So one of the first things that we need to note is that the devil is making a claim that he has the right over the kingdoms that he is offering Jesus. And we will see that Jesus never rebukes Satan's claim regarding his current rulership over the kingdoms of the earth. All of the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. That means all of the kingdoms up until the kingdom of God. Are you following me? And for those Christians that believe that the kingdom of God is merely a spiritual kingdom, they do not have a firm grasp on the unbreakable word of God. The kingdom of God has not been established, but it will be established. And I believe that kingdom is coming very soon. And that kingdom will have no end, and it will be ruled by the King of Kings, who is Jesus the Christ. And know this truth as well. Jesus has been given all power and all authority. He will rule this world in pure righteousness, unlike this world right now that's being ruled in darkness. Jesus is called the light of the world, but people love darkness more than that light. Think about it. Whoever chooses to love this world, they love Satan. Sounds too blunt? It is what it is. Because the devil is over all of the kingdoms of the world right now. But we're so fortunate that Jesus rules over all and is over all. We know this. His complete rulership will come. And again, it's at hand. Captured in the book of Psalms, chapter 110 and verse 1, the word of God reads, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Well known. Just sit. God's not prancing around, concerned. It's already been written. It's coming. God has all the time in the world. He's the creator of time. And all the enemies of God, all of them, every nation, everything in this world will fall at his appearing. We need to make sure we keep ourselves from this world. No. Stay away from it. Keep our eyes on Jesus and the kingdom to come. Because if we stay in this world, it shows that we love the world. And all who love the world, the Bible tells us that the love of the Father is not in them. And we become enemies of God. And this in no way contradicts John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world." Not at all. No. God so loved his created beings, us in this world, that he would do something so amazing to redeem us out of this world that was handed over to the devil. What kind of love is that? How do you respond to that? Even though we were born evil, we're able to have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ upon us for the salvation of our souls. God gives an opportunity for all who are of the world to receive his love that leads to eternal life. But the devil sets up every opportunity for us to receive from the world everything that leads to eternal damnation. Remember, this is all in the backdrop of all the kingdoms of the world. Because once the true and living God is rejected, guess who's being worshiped? The devil. And what's also interesting to note regarding verse 9 of our text is that Satan, he would have been better off if he just told Jesus to accept the kingdoms without bowing down and worshiping him. Didn't even have to add that piece. Are you following me? Because if Jesus would have accepted it, it would have been rebelling against the word of God. Are you following me? But Satan had to add that piece in there. If you bow down and worship me. So what that tells me, for one, is that Satan is not satisfied with just disobedience. Oh, no, that's not enough. I want you to worship me. And the complete worship of the devil is happening all over this world in so many ways. So even when you say you do not believe in God, you are worshiping the devil. Because he has placed upon your heart that there is no God. And from there, you begin to worship yourself, which is a characteristic of the devil. All about me. Another thing that this verse tells us is the fact that everything of this world after the fall of man, again, truly belongs to the powers of darkness. Think about it. If Satan was able to offer Jesus all of the kingdoms in a moment of time, can he offer us the same things? Are you following me? Now, that's not to say that he would come through on any of it. All of it will have strings attached. And there will be literally hell to pay. But you've heard of people selling their souls to the devil? That is real. And what I'm about to say next, man, ruffles a lot of feathers. But you know me. So we'll get to it. Because I'm going to tell you on the authority of God's word that Satan is at the head of every other religion in the world. The world is against the word of God. The entire world. And every other religion requires you to do something to earn your salvation or achieve a state of nirvana or have 20 virgins in heaven, cease to exist, become a celestial body, become a Jedi Knight, you name it. You have to do something. And like many of you, I have dear friends scattered through many, if not all, of these main religions that go against the word of God. And in love, I tell them they are false religions. There is only one God, and that is the God of the Bible, period. There's only one way. And that's through Jesus the Christ. And in the end, if they don't come around, it will lead to them taking the mark of the beast in order to live just to die for eternal damnation. That's the facts of the matter. Do we love enough to tell our friends that? Or do we value their friendship more than their soul? We all believe time is running out, but do we really believe it? The God of the Bible tells us what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, so that when it does, we may believe. Do we express that to them? And we don't have to sit here and claim the Bible is true. Crack it open. It speaks for itself. There are so many paths to destruction and only one way to eternal life. That's the narrow gate. That's Jesus. That's the narrow path. Everything else is false. and owned by the devil. And what a loving God that we have that will only give us one way, only one God to worship, who has done it all. We don't have to sit in a corner. Could you? First of all, I could never be a Buddhist. My body won't let me. If I got down there and crossed up and everything, that's it. I'm in trouble, man. If we try to obtain the kingdom of God by some other means, we are falling down before the devil and worshiping him. And that point needs to be driven home for all of us. Jesus is standalone. Following the God of the Bible is like no other religion, no other. Jesus is the dividing and deciding factor. When you compare everything to the Word of God, you will see how far off everything else is. It's far off. People love to point out some similarities. Oh, look at these couple, three similarities here. Oh, I'm going to show you the main difference. Jesus. That's it. You can claim all the similarities you want to. Absent Christ, eternal damnation. I love it when people also speak about, well, how did Jesus just come on the scene some 2,000 years ago, and what about all the people that died beforehand? Oh, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked that question. First of all, those who look forward to the Redeemer, oh, they'll be raised. Trust in that. They were looking forward to the Redeemer. Redeemer came. We are looking back at the Redeemer, who already came and will come again. The same Jesus. Oh, Jesus is not in the Old Testament. We don't see the name Jesus. You don't? I see Redeemer. I see Jehovah. A list of names I can go through. Same God, one God, manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Our next verse in our text provides us the way to deal with the God of this world. When him or his minions present anything to us that comes from this world. Verse 10 of our text, as the word of God reads, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only you shall serve. Now, notice that Jesus rebuked Satan here. Good. And Satan went away. And we know from the scriptures that he does come back. That's the only disappointing part. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that when it comes to the powers of darkness, I mean, we need to be rebuking these situations in the name of Jesus. I mean, we could rebuke a brother or sister in Christ, a family member and all of that. Yeah, but we're talking about principalities. And you know the spiritual warfare. And you know. You're sitting here. What are we thinking when we say, I rebuke you? Oh, that's what the demons are saying. Really? You do? In the name of Jesus changes everything. And believe me, you, his minions are all over the place. Not to mention that we have to contend with our own flesh. We still have a sinful nature because that's our natural makeup. This is why the devil's world is so appealing to us, by the way. Hard to shake, right? Hard habit to break. Even though we are renewed in the spirit, it wars against the flesh. The devil's world is a world of sin. It cannot be saved or tamed by mankind. I mean, just look at us. This is the reality of it all. and this current world that we're living in. In spite of it all, we as Christians are to only worship the Lord our God and only serve Him. So like we talked about before, we have to navigate through this madness. And at the same time, we must be good stewards of in this world. Recognize that the true and living God created everything, including the world. We can't lose that. Represent Christ as good witnesses in this world, in the hopes that we can draw others out of this world. And the Word of God tells us how to accomplish all of this. We have several examples within the Scriptures. But we also have the entire blueprint of living in this world in spite of our surroundings. But if we don't respond to the power of the Holy Spirit, we can expect to have lives that are unfulfilled, unfruitful, and lives that are riddled with disappointment. So I believe that we would all do well, one, to take another look at these verses that we're about to go through and really take heed to them. These are captured in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Again, we speak about this often. The Word of God reads, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. This is us navigating in this evil, demented, demonic, satanic world and system. A quiet life, minding our own business, and working with our own hands. I can do a 5-week sermon off this alone. First of all, living a quiet life provides us the opportunity for us to hear. If our lives are riddled with chaos and so noisy, how are we hearing the Word of God? Even if you're sitting here in the sanctuary and the first thing on your mind is, I gotta work tomorrow. Whew. You keep checking the watch. I gotta work. You're not hearing anything. You may be here, but you don't hear. Busy life. Not quiet, full of noise. And how about minding our own business? Tending to those things that we should be tending to. Now, this minding our own business is not being antisocial, nor is this a deterrence from checking or holding other brothers and sisters accountable. That's not what it is. This is in regards to those of this world. And we see this truth in verse 12. Because when these are properly executed, we can walk properly towards those who are outside of the faith. Are you following? And because we demonstrate a lack of nothing, many who are outside of the faith will begin to wonder why. And prayerfully, some would ask us the question. And prayerfully, we would have an answer. And that answer that we give them should be Jesus. And remember, we do not judge the world. Let them judge us. Because if we're living lives acceptable to God, when they come and judge us, the Bible tells us they would be put to shame. But we have to be living lives acceptable to the true living God. And for this next example, we read this often as well. And even though this is dealing more towards those of us who teach and preach, it's for all of our learning. Captured in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, the Word of God reads, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Now, this is an area in my life that God's working on. I struggle sometimes to navigate around this. And it's not the hardships. None of us like them, but we all have to endure them. My issue is, man, I could get entangled in debates. Oh, man. Bring a topic up, and it just hits me some kind of way. We're gonna tussle. It's like, for real? You want to do this? God's working on me. In verse 3, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, he uses the phrase, soldier of Jesus Christ. Enlisted by Christ. And the daily cares and affairs of this life cannot override the orders of our supreme commander. So if the world says this, but the word says that, we are to do that. Did you catch that? And let's make sure that we understand that this is not a prevention of being involved in things. No. This is not a call to be a hermit either. This is a charge of not being consumed or trapped by any dealings that interrupts our service to the Lord, especially for those who are called to teach. Even so, none of us, hear me, should ever entangle ourselves in things like social movements. Calling evil out is one thing. Being entangled is another. We should never entangle ourselves in political movements. Exercising your right to vote is one thing, but being entangled is another. We should never entangle ourselves in disputable matters. Oh, that's me. Some of us are engrossed on social media. I don't do that. I'm face to face. I'm not saying that's any better. But the God of this world loves nothing more than have us Christians entangled in all kinds of matters that takes us out of the fight. And then we're supposed to be entangled in spiritual warfare. But when we're consumed with the cares and affairs of this life, instead of facing the enemy head on, we turn our backs to handle these stupid matters behind us. And if you know about the armor of God, when we turn our back, guess what? We're exposed. And then the enemy comes and offs some of us or puppeteers the rest. Now we have a bunch of Benedict Arnolds. Traitors. We cannot engage the enemy with our backs turned. We have to keep everything in front of us while we follow our supreme commander. That's our goal. And we can do all of this not by just following our God, but putting our full and complete trust in Jesus. Think about this. Daniel navigated his way while serving in Babylon. Not only serving, he was serving the king as well. He trusted God and never compromised his faith. He was wise, respectful, so much so that Nebuchadnezzar would call the God of Daniel, our God, the Most High God. God would even see fit to have Nebuchadnezzar write Daniel chapter 4, or much of it. Think about that. And for my young people, take notice. Daniel, most agree, was no more than 17 years old when he was taken captive to Babylon. I encourage you to rebuke all principalities in the name of the Lord. Seek to worship the true and living God and serve him only. If we humble ourselves and give the Holy Spirit his way in our lives to do all of this, we can be guaranteed that verse 11 of our text will indeed happen. The word of God reads, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Again, Jesus rebuked the devil with the word of God, and we see that he left him. The apostle Peter would write by the Holy Spirit, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And I submit to you that resisting the devil is not allowing him to have influence over us with this worldly stuff, but standing firm on the word of God. When, not if, we have conversations with these dark powers of the world, we must converse with the word only. Are you following me? Stop having sidebar giggles. No, word. When the world comes, talk Bible. Then the devil will flee. Oh yeah, they're coming back. But while they're gone, we should take that opportunity and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. That's what we should be doing. And let's not forget that Jesus could have called down legions of angels at any time he wanted to. But we see here that the angels came to him after his rebuke. Think about that. Isn't that a valuable lesson for all of us? Because this speaks to the true and living God dispatching those heavenly hosts for us when we stand on his word and rebuke this world. Sadly, we too often trust in this world instead of his word. And when we trust in the world, guess who comes to minister to us? See that? Think about it. The word of God says, "Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you." We are charged first to draw near unto God, then he will draw near unto us. But if we continue to draw near unto this world of the devil, oh, the devil will draw near unto us. Those of us who believe in the true and living God, we must remember that we are not to live for this world. We are to live for the coming King. And his kingdom is coming. And when that kingdom comes, that will take this devil of a world and completely consume it. And I can't wait. We should all be saying, "Away with you, Satan," in the name of Jesus. Why don't we all stand so we can pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for being so faithful and allowing us the opportunity to gather as a body of believers and also bring in those who are seeking you, want to know if you are real. You are real, Lord. And in spite that we live in this devil's world currently, you're coming to set up a kingdom that would be so magnificent. And you have provided the opportunity for all of us who would believe to enter into that kingdom. So Lord, I pray that you will bless this message and those to come. Keep us faithful and strong and standing firm on your word alone. We love you and praise you, and may you receive all the honor and glory due your name. And that is the name of Jesus that we do pray. Amen.